Sameach and Boker Tov to everyone. We are up to Simon Sadi Zayin, the banner, page 256. Moving on to page 257. Shelo Yigayik, Shelo Yifayik, B'shas Tefillah, burping and yawning in the middle of davening. So it says the Mechaber over, at least that's the topic of the first Seif over here. I don't know why he got the whole topic of the whole Simon, but that's why he begins the topic. Lo Yigayik, one should not burp. And that's what the Ramah explains. Motzi Migufa Lepiv Neficha Mitoch Savo. Okay, he lets out a wind out of his mouth because he is satiated. V'lo yifahik, and he should not yawn. Poteach pi lahotzi ruach hapeh, to open up his mouth wide to get out of the ruach hapeh. V'im tzarich lefahik, however, if one needs to mitoch ones, he can't handle himself and he has to yawn in the middle of that. He's not causing himself to yawn, he needs to yawn. Yaniach yadu al piv, he should place his hand over his mouth. Shlo teireh psichaso. Okay, so manners were not introduced in America. They were way before in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, put your hand over your mouth when you open your mouth. Even though it points out over here to put your hand over your mouth when you're yawning, but in general, one should not have his hand on his chin during davening. I'm not sure why one would do that, but it's a derech gaiva. Derech gasas ruach, to have your hand on your chin, I don't know, stroking your beard maybe, during tefillah, that's going to be usher to do. That's what we saw last week, to put your legs over one another, cross your legs in the middle of tefillah. It's not a beach club. Okay, so we just mentioned over the Shulchan only mentions bitoch ones by yawning. The Mishnah Berurah says the same thing. If one needs to burp out of ones, who did the begiuk bitoch ones? Like he's sure it's not usher to burp out of ones. Don't have to worry if you burped and you couldn't hold it back. You should try and hold it in. If you can't, then it's like the reason why it does not say it, why does it say mitochones? Asher mishum. Possibly the reason is when you burp, you do not have a chiv to put your hand over your mouth. Shame psichas piv, rab kol kach, you're not open your mouth wide like you are when you're yawning. Vegamul is manmun, it's only for a second. Mashenkin bepiyak, mashenkin yawning sometimes takes a number of seconds to do, and therefore it's more important to put your hand over your mouth. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah explains over there. Sif base. Aser lo larok. It is aser to spit. So one might be saying, we learned early on in Simon Tzadi, Sif Yigimel, that it's really mutter to spit in a shul. So we saw talk back then, number one, which has nothing to do with it over here, the stira. Okay, over there we said you're not even allowed to spit in the stir shul nowadays because you wouldn't spit in your home. We don't spit in the shul anyway either nowadays. Back in the day, they had a lot more spit.
This is the old time.
Okay, so it's usher to spit in the shul even nowadays, but in terms of the seer and the Shulchan Aruch, back in the day you were allowed to spit. Over here it says usher to spit. It's very simple. Over there it's talking about in a shul. Over here we're talking about in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Spit in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, that's much worse than Yom Tov Melech. That is much worse than this thing. Once again, back in the day, their hygiene in their mouth was much, much different than ours nowadays, so it's hard for us to relate that someone has to spit, but they needed to spit more often than we do. Vim Iyashar lo shalo yulok. He's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and he cannot hold back to spit. He has some phlegm, but he has something to get rid of. So what does he do? Yimavlio b'ksuso. He should spit it into his jacket. Okay, spit it into his clothes. B'inch lo yeh so much that you're not going to be able to see it. You're not going to be able to see the spit. That's it. So it's not on the outside. It's on the inside of the jacket. It's not going to be a problem then. Vimu istis bat. He's very, very finicky. He's an istis that he doesn't like spit on the inside of his jacket. Peir sheni yochol liros davar maos. Ve'eni yochol lavlil b'ksuso. He can't spit it into his jacket. Zorkol acharav, then he should spit behind him. Hopefully there's no one standing behind him also, but he should spit behind him the phlegm. Now, we're going to get now to the most difficult Ramah in all of Hilchos Tefillah, when the world's going on over here, so we're going to try and understand it a little bit, and then we'll see the Mishnah Berurah gives a different shot, which is a little bit easier to swallow. So, no pun intended. Vimi yashar lezorkol acharav, zorkol lesmol. Okay, if you cannot spit behind you, then you should spit to the left. Okay, avaloli yamino, but you should not spit on the right side. The kosher came the fun of dasar for sure, not to spit in front of you. That's worse. Once again, you're only lifnei hashchina. You're going to spit in front of you legs because they're spitting at the shchina. Therefore, you're not. Here. So why you're supposed to spit to the left and not spit to the right? So a little introduction in Simon Kufchav Gimel. We'll see later on that when you take it three steps back in Shemoneh Esrei, you dafka bow to the left first because that's the makom of shchina. So over here, why is it saying to spit to the left? You're spitting then towards the Shechina. So that's what he's bothered by over here. Why over here it says spit to the left, but on the other hand, we bow to the left first. We seem like the left side is more chashish. So it says like this, the Ramah. So Vahad...
My English is better.
Oh. Vahadle kaman bereish simin kuchav gimel. That which we say later on in the beginning of Rechukhan, shohovik panav litzad small, you turn your face to the left first, tchila, shu yamin shal kadosh baruch, which is the right side of a kadosh baruch. So, yesh lomar. So let's understand the difference. That time, the reason is, came into me, olam lo yarda shechina lamat miyud. Because the Gemara tells us, is anyone learning Gemara Sukkah, Gemara Eruvin, that the Shechina never goes beneath yud tfach. And therefore, it's not in our, it's not go lamat miyud. Therefore, it's not connected us. In Mekane, in a Shechina connected to Mispalo, he's not connected to Chasa, yud amos. Then he's not connected to Mispalo. There when he's davening, he's not really right in front of me, he's above him. Okay, so therefore, lefikach, in the middle of tefillah, the Shechina is above him, he's not at his level. So therefore, we could go ahead and give kavod to our right side. Generally, we give kavod to the right. Therefore, we don't want to spit to the right. Therefore, we automatically spit to the left instead of spitting to the right. That's the reason why we spit to the left, because it's like our own kavod, because the right side is more chashav, we spit to the left. Okay, in Cain, and it's not going to be the chalku kavod liyamin. Once again, today Barakika Shibishas Tvila. Aval Kisha Posea Shlosha Psios, but when he takes his three steps back, you're pulling away from the Shechina. Ha de Marchik Atzma Makan Tvila. So this is where it gets a little bit different over here. What's the Svar over here? Okay, the person is Marchik from the Makam of the Shechina, from his Tvila. Now the Kinegida Shechina. So now he's Kinegida Shechina because he's pulling back. Why is this? So the Ramah says, Lefikach, I said, Mr. Brook explains this. He's got Yud. Come on us up. Wrote Salomar, shall Cain kavanaso as beisi shtachavaya lishtachavos neged Shechina. Since he's pulling himself back from tefillah, and now he's going to be going to the left side, why is he bowing? He's bowing kineged Shechina. So since he's bowing kineged Shechina, it's like the Shechina is in front of him, he's bowing to the left. Therefore, we want him to bow to the left side, dafka, where the Shemakam Shechina is. Okay, to me it's also a little bit difficult to understand. It seems like the Mishnah Berurah, we'll see in 1 second, also doesn't love this svara. And therefore he says, Osa Shalom, to the side smolo, Sha'azu Kneged Yamina Shalom Kadosh Baruch. That's the svara over here. Once again, why is Kneged Shechina? He's not Kneged Shechina when he's davening, but he's Kneged Shechina when he's bang. The Mishnah Berurah just gives a different shot over here. If you look in Sivkot and Tess. Sivkot and Tess, he says, V'achron Tirtzu B'Pshitas. V'achron, give a different pshat, which is more pashid. D'achra B'Shas R'Kikaso, Misalik Yimenu Kavod Shechina. Where you're doing something that is against the Kavod of the Shechina. So therefore, Kamok Shekata B'Simen Gimelin Yitzchad M'chud. Akein Azlina Batar Yamin Usmol Shal Adam. We're doing something that has nothing to do with the Shechina. We're trying to do something against the Shechina. We go butter the person. And the person, his right side is more Kavod. Therefore, we're going to spit to the left. What do you think? We're dafka trying to bow towards the Shechina. Then we go to Yamin Shechina, which seems to be a more pashtu pshat. We're getting down to here. Makam Shechina, under Yud, above Yud. Okay, the Seder. That's what's going on over here. Once again, as the Rashi point out, it's not solo maisa. Hashem, as Mr. Bro points out, it sounds like they had something like a handkerchief that was hanging down on their pants that they would spit into that. Okay, well, we just get a tissue. That would be the best thing to go ahead and do. Once again, if it's going to bother your tefillah, you can even move out of your place and go get a tissue to spit into the tissue if it's going to be mafriya your Shmona Esra. Siv Gimel. Im kina okatsto. If you're in the middle of Shmona Esra and there is a louse, lice are biting you, mosquitoes biting you, yimash mesh bibigotov. It's really tight, sorry. It's really only talking about a lice. We'll see soon why. Yimash mesh bibigotov. You could go onto your clothes last year to take it off. Back in the day, they had lice on their clothing also, not on their head. Shalotis vato kavanaso. In order not to mevatel your kavana, have a lo yisirana biyado. You should shake off your clothes. You should not take it off with your hand. As the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sivkan Yud Alufim Avar Vintal, if you did touch it with your hands, yishashiv yado bekotol bedover acher. You should go ahead and rub your hand on the table, not in the wall of the shul, but a different wall. If you have another wall in front of you, that would be permissible because a kina has some type of tumah tahara. One was required to wash his hands by a kina. Therefore, if he removes it in tefillah, saying Baruch Hashem once again, nowadays we have less of this problem with our hygiene. We don't come to that very often. V'dafka b'shas tefillah. This is only talking about in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If it's not during your Shemoneh Esrei, you could take the kina off and throw it away. Now, this one's a little bit more practical. Someone wears a talus and his talus falls off. So we saw in Siv Ches, we'll come back to what we saw. Sorry, Simon Ches, we'll discuss a little bit of what we talked about over there. But Inishma Tali told me Mekomo. Someone's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and his talus starts falling off. Okay, falls off one shoulder, so a part of the shoulder. What do I mean? Yachol lemash beish bolach siri. He's allowed to grab onto the talus and put the talus back in, even though he's in the middle of talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he can fix his talus, which is sarach tefillah. That's going to be mush. Avali nafal kulo, but if the whole talus falls off, and he's going to have to bend down or move out of his place to get the talus, if nafal kulo, eino yachol lachzor litate bo davi hesek, then it's going to be us for him to pick up the talus and put it back on, because that would be a hesek in his middle of his shmon esrei. To fix your talus that's already half on, that's going to be mutter. But if it completely falls off, just leave it on the floor, and he continues davening shmon esrei. We already saw earlier, even if a sefer is on the floor, maker didn't, he's allowed to continue davening if it's not nefria, his come on. Kavl chomer, saying that it's only a talus, which is less kedusha, doesn't have any kedusha, it's tashish mitzvah, then he's allowed to leave it on the floor until after the shmon esrei, then he will put it back on. Look inside now, the Mishnah Berurah is over here. Say, katan yadal kulo, afili nishar adayin biyadu atifa avi hesek. Even though he catches it in the air, he catches his talus in the air, that's considered nafal kulo, and he should not put it back on. He should put it down on the chair next to him, whatever it might be, until after shmon esrei. Siv katan tesvav, eino yach. He's not allowed to put it back on. However, vim avar visati, but he didn't know the lacha. He puts the talus back on now. He doesn't have to start again from the beginning of the bracha. Even though it's a hefsek, it's not a hefsek enough that's goring him to go back in the bracha. He continues where he left off over there. When he finishes tefillah, then he should be mashish in his talus and make a new bracha on his talus. This is the Shulchan Aruch l'shitaso, Mishnah Berurah l'shitaso, back in Siman Ches, who both hold that if your talus partly falls off, no new bracha. If it completely falls off, you require a new bracha because it's like yatzala, mitzvah left you, and now you have to put it back on. Rosh Hashanah Zalman disagrees. Rosh Hashanah Zalman brought in all the different sari. Rosh Hashanah Zalman, Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Nevinzal brings it down over there in Siman Ches also, I believe, that Rosh Hashanah Zalman held that since nowadays, most people only wear the tefillah of their talus during davening, so their first kavanah is from the beginning of tefillah to the end of the tefillah. Even if it fell off, it would not be require a new bracha. So too over here, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Moreno, Rabbeinu Nevinzal, and Hold, he would not require a new bracha when putting back on the talus again, and that's what he would paskin halacha lemaisa. Okay, last halacha over here in Siman Tzadi Zayin, Sifei. Hanasei Masi, someone's carrying a heavy load. Okay, he's carrying a burden on his back. Al ktefav on his shoulders, v'giyah zvan tefillah. Okay, so he's got a burden on his back, v'giyah zvan tefillah, and now he's got a dime, he comes to tefillah. So is he allowed to hold, let's say he's got a backpack on his shoulder, he's got a backpack full of stuff, is he allowed to daven with the backpack, besides the fact that it's not like, so nice, not with the back, but is it mutter out concentration? So pachos mi dalid kabin, if he's holding less than dalid kabin worth of stuff, I'm not exactly how much that equates into weight nowadays, but he's cutting kind of dal kabin, which is a pretty heavy duty load. Mashilu acharav mispal up to dal kabin, he's allowed to mashilu acharav for sure if it's in a backpack, and he's allowed to go ahead and dal. That did dal kabin, but if he has dal kabin or more, manichal gabi karkum mispal. He's holding a very very heavy backpack. He should not daven shmonesrei with the backpack on, and he should put it down. This is talking about when you're on the derech and you're afraid something's going to happen. If it's all equal for sure, he should go ahead and get rid of the backpack. As Mr. Brook points out, he's cutting it down. The masli shall dalid kabin, if he is the masli of dalid kabin or more, he may malav and vatlin kavana. So it's going to be vatl, his kavana, he's not going to be able to concentrate at all, and therefore he should go ahead and get rid of it. And throughout the Shem, we'll start Siman Tzadi Ches next time, which is talking about kavana in tefillah. Adkan for today, Chanukah Sameach.